If you'll notice, I'm dressed a little bit more casually than normal, and that is for a reason. Hopefully you did notice that. Try to send some things home with you each week that make you remember what it is that we talked about. And I don't know if you guys have seen that show that's on television. I think it comes on every, Thursday night or every Tuesday night, and it's called The Biggest Loser. And this has been going on for about, seven, eight seasons now, a couple of years. And it's all about people who are severely overweight, unhealthily so, going and leaving the life that they've lived and learning how to eat right and to exercise. And you have people that are absolutely in the worst shape of their lives. And by the end of the season, by the end of, how long is it? How many weeks do they go? 12 weeks, people have lost 150 pounds on the show. And it's just an absolute life-transforming TV show for these guys. I mean, it's absolutely the turning point. I mean, there's crying, there's cheering, there's just the whole range of emotion. And that's just at our house while we're watching it. But, I mean, these people, they go on this show and they leave where they live and they go to this ranch, the campus, the Biggest Loser campus, and they eat right and they work out and they pour into it 6-8 hours of working out a day and just change their lives. We're going to start a sermon series and it's called The Biggest Loser Highland Hills Style. And we're going to talk about what it means to get fit for the kingdom. I got a graphic that's going to, there it is. We're talking about what it means to get fit for the kingdom while we are losing the weight of sin. And that's what it's going to be all about, transforming our lives so that we can be fit for God and we can be a little bit lighter in the process. Because there's things that we all carry around. There's a lifestyle that we live, and it just creates within us all of these unhealthy habits and all of these unhealthy traits in our life, and it just all of this weight and all of this stuff that we carry around with us. And people that are like that can't really do anything. They have these people show up on this show. I mean, and they are absolutely, completely out of shape. And they start out getting them in the gym to work out, and I'm telling you, they can't go on a treadmill for a minute because of all of this extra weight and all of this unhealthy lifestyle that they have just allowed to accumulate and to really, really change who they are, and it changes what they're able to do. So often in the church, we are that exact same way. And it has nothing to do with what we look like. It has nothing to do with our physical condition. It has everything to do with our spiritual conditioning. So many times the church, who has to be this offensive, lean, quick-moving, strategic, and fierce group of people are just lethargic and out of shape. Mentally and spiritually defeated, unable to sustain any kingdom work for any length of time whatsoever. But not so anymore. Not so anymore. Not here. Because we're going to go through about an 8-week program where we are absolutely going to talk about what it means to get fit for the kingdom. And we're going to lose some of that weight that we've been carrying around. And just like we read in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, that since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses to this life of faith, and there's some theological debate about what he's talking about there. He can either be talking about all of those who have gone on before us and who are at the right hand of God, who are to Abraham's bosom, who are looking down and cheering us on from the grandstand of heaven. And that's what I believe that he's talking about, because I believe with all of my heart that my mom can see me right now doing what it is that I'm doing. She can see me on Tuesday and she can see me on Thursday, and she's cheering me on, and that encourages me to do what it is God's called me to do, and it discourages me from being the kind of person that would not be in God's will We've got this crowd of witnesses. It's either that, or he's talking about the church and all of the people that are watching and looking and everyone who can see us here and all of the great cloud of people who are gathered around to determine whether or not the church is doing and being what the church ought to do and be. But since those people, this great cloud of witnesses exist, let us shed every weight that slows us down. I mean, if it is not beneficial to the kingdom of heaven, let's get rid of it. That's what he's talking about. Shed every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily hinders our progress. Now, did y'all hear what I just heard? There is more that slows us down than just sin. Everything that is contrary to the kingdom and kingdom work doesn't have to be sin. There are some things that aren't sin that we can shed too. We can shed some good things that hinder us in the kingdom. It says, let's shed everything that hinders us, especially the sin that so easily hinders our progress, and let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. Last week, I preached a sermon on doing kingdom work and going and evangelizing and growing the kingdom and all that. And the last point that I made is really going to jumpstart this week, and that is making adjustments. Remember that? There are some adjustments that we have to make in our life if we're going to shed the weight of sin. If we're going to be the kind of people that God has called us to be and further the kind of kingdom that God has called us to further, then there is some adjustments that we have to make. And that's a process so often. It starts with a decision, but it involves a process where we become this person God wants. The first thing that we have to understand, and it's the title of the sermon this morning, is when we lose, we win. You see, so often losing is not something that's a very positive thing to think about. When this show first started, when this weight loss program show just started, there were protests and there were all kinds of outrage because it's the Biggest Loser. And it's, you know, and it's casting these people in a bad light and all this other kind of stuff. And you know, because we just don't want to be considered losers. When you understand the concept. When you get it, when these people are dying to be a loser. And I believe that God is calling us to be that same loser. We've got to understand that really in the kingdom of heaven, when we're talking about the work that God has called us and the people that He has ordained for us to be, He's called us to be losers. Those who would lose the things that this world has to offer, who would let go and release all of the things that we have come to hold so dear. Be a winner by truly being a loser. And there's a few thoughts that I want to leave us with today. As we begin this sermon series, as we begin this journey together of what it means to shed all of these things that hinder us and to be fit for the kingdom that God has called us to be in. There's some encouragements that I want us to have along the way. And when we understand that when we lose, we win, the first thing that we want to understand is the alternative. Number one thing on your order of worship this morning as we consider what it means to win through losing, understand the alternative. I mean, truly understand that life as we have always lived it, that the status quo, doing what has got us to whatever place we are, is not necessarily the thing that we need to continue. If you have a diet that consists of 30,000 calories and a workout ethic that is lifting the remote control, that's going to have to change. And that's what people have to learn through this process. And the alternative is, if I keep doing what I'm doing, I'm going to die. You see, in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, we're told that there is this 30,000 calorie a day diet called sin. And you know what it leads to? It leads to something that we all fear. More than anything else in the world, we fear this. As Paul tells the church in Rome, he says, the wages, the alternative, the consequence of sin is death. This year, or this season, on The Biggest Loser, there is a kid who's 19 years old. He weighs more than 460 pounds at 19. Couldn't walk upstairs. And his doctors say, you got to go on this show because if you don't, you won't see 21. You see, because they're telling him the consequence of your lifestyle is death. No doubt about it. Your heart will not last another 5 years. That's all he's ever known. That is all he has ever known. Is mass consumption and absolutely little exertion. There's a change that has to take place. Because if he doesn't, he's going to die. The reality is that when we understand the alternative, we're not talking about that if we live a perfect life or do what God wants us to do, we're going to get to live here forever, because there's no escaping physical death. We all have that. We all have that curse around us. God offers us life. The alternative to spiritual death is eternal life. And there's another alternative that we have to understand, and it's found in the book of John. It's one of my favorite passages, and I pray this simple prayer every day, and especially every Sunday before I get in the pulpit. And it's found in John chapter 3 and verse 30. And it's very simply, he must become greater, and I must become less. You see, here's the other alternative we have to understand. Either Christ is growing in our life. Either Christ is getting bigger in us. Either the Holy Spirit is taking over more and more and more of my life. Either I'm getting stronger and stronger in my faith, or I am not. Either Christ is growing or we are. Either my selfish, sinful nature is taking over more and more of my life, or Christ's loving, merciful, righteous nature is. There's a couple of alternatives there that we have to understand. Because you see, the fact is that there's got to be something. All of these encouragements that I'm going to talk about, the 1, 2, and 3 on your handout, those are all things that are designed to get us off the couch, spiritually speaking. Because if we don't believe that there's something else involved, if we don't fear the path that we're going down currently, there's no reason to change anything. So the encouragement is to understand the alternative is that if we continue unfit for the kingdom, it surely leads to death. And it's either Christ growing or it's us growing. Even though it's a difficult thing for us to conceive in our mind, and it's hard for us to put a positive spin on the concept of losing, the second encouragement that I want to give us this morning is that losing is, in fact, the new winning. You know, you've heard that saying, well, you know, 40 is the new 30, or orange is the new pink, or whatever it is. You know, there's some kind of this is the new that, and just whatever it is that's acceptable that used to not so be. And that's kind of the idea that I want us to leave with today, that losing is the new winning. That when we give up what it is that we've grown so accustomed to, the things that are hindering us and slowing us down in this life, what's killing us spiritually, when we lose those things, we are truly, in fact, winning. Matthew 10 and 39 says that whoever finds life will lose it. Whoever continues to live, who is just giving more and more and more to self and growing, you know, self, whether it's ego or desires or whatever it is that this world has to offer, whoever finds his life will lose it. Whoever gives everything to himself will die eternally. That's what that passage is telling us. And whoever loses his own life for my sake. That's Jesus speaking. He said, whoever determines and decides to change their lifestyle and to lose all of these selfish and personal things, whoever loses his own life for my sake will find it. There's a passage I want us to read in Romans that speaks to the idea of losing being the new winning. It's in Romans chapter 6, 3 through 4. Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were therefore buried with Him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. You know what He's telling us? That in Christ equals life. And it's not a life that we've known ever. It's not a life that we're familiar with. There's a very important word that he brings up there at the very end of this selected passage. He said, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. You know what the new life is he's talking about? It's eternal life. It's forever life. You see, the thing is that while we're trying to convince ourselves to get off the spiritual couch and put down the spiritual fork that's making us unfit for the kingdom person, we have to determine that there's something else better, and the life that we're wanting to have, we need to understand it's a new life. It's unlike any other life we've ever lived. You see, the life that we live now, as good as it can be, as comfortable as we make it, as refined and as pleasant and as all of those things, the life we live now is nothing compared to the life that God has prepared for us. It's nothing compared to the life that God has in store. You see, because one thing that this show offers the contestants is that, trust me, what I'm trying to do for you is better than anything you've ever known. It really is. Because otherwise, we will keep doing what it is that we've always done. Otherwise, we'll have problems putting down the sin that so easily entangles us, so easily slows us down. If we don't understand that He's got something completely other to offer us, we'll never give up what we have. We'll never give up what we know. We'll never give up what we've come to be accustomed to. See, losing is the new winning, and Jesus says this in Mark 8 and 36. He says that, what good is it for a man to gain the whole world yet lose his own soul? And those are words that as we consider our place, our purpose in the kingdom, ought to ring in our ears to help us to understand that what God is calling us to be a part of is eternally more important than anything we find here. It's so much more enduring than anything that we experience here. And so anything that we fall in love with here, we should rest assured it's worth losing for what God has to offer. Not only should we understand the alternatives, understand that the life that we can carve out for ourselves is the life that leads to death. And not only should we be encouraged that it's okay to be a loser. It's okay to let go of the things that we have come to love. But the last thing I want us to understand is that we should consider the comfort involved in the lifestyle change that God is calling us to live. You know, one of the things that over and over and over that these people experience on this show is how much better they feel at the end. How much easier it is to maneuver through life and to maneuver through their daily life, and how much easier it is, you know, how many medicines they don't have to take, and how many, you know, how much aches and pains and joints and this and that they don't have to worry about because they're not carrying around all of this extra weight. There's comfort involved. If you've got your Bibles, turn with me over to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, starting in verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. You see, there's real comfort involved here. There's real better found in living the life and that God's called us to live and losing the weight that we've grown accustomed to carry around. There's real physical, spiritual, and emotional comfort that we have to look forward to in order to get ourselves moving in the direction God's called us to move. You're the God of all comfort who comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. Now, what do you think the idea that Paul is trying to get across to the Corinthians in that five verses there? I'm not a linguist by any stretch of the imagination. But as you read that, is there a recurring theme that comes up? Maybe something that's over and over and over again? Is there something that you feel like at the very beginning of this letter that Paul really wants the Corinthians to understand about the God that they serve and the Creator that they are drawing closer and closer to? Is there a concept that he really wants them to grasp? If there is, just what do you think that would be? Did anybody listen to what I read? What word do you hear over and over? What's that? Comfort. There's comfort. Now, I don't know about you guys. I like to be comfortable. I mean, I've got on my comfy clothes today. You know, what I normally wear is typically not comfortable. When you go home from a long day at work, what's the first thing you really, really want to do? After you get in the door and put down your keys or your purse or your whatever, what do you want to do? Do what? Say it. Get in your comfy clothes. I mean, I've got my sweatpants, and these aren't even my most comfortable sweatpants. I got some that just let my belly waller all around. I just want to sit there on the couch. I want to get comfortable. What God is trying to explain to us is that the life that He is calling us to live is a comfortable life. It's so much more comfortable than the life of sin or the life of self-absorption that so often is the life of those outside of the church especially, but tragically it's the life of those who are also within the church. And to be fit for the kingdom and to lose all of this weight of sin and all of this worry and struggle is a life that is ultimately comfortable. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, I have come to give you life. And He didn't stop right there. He said, I've come to give you life, and I've come to give it to you fully or abundantly. I have come to give you a life that is like none other you can ever experience. You have to understand that in Christ, life is better. It's just plain better. And that's important for us if we're ever going to move from where we are to where we need to be. Now, one of the things that I want us to understand at the very beginning of this sermon series is that there are issues that we have tagged in the brotherhood, or we have understood to be a salvation issue or a non-salvation issue and all of these things. Let me just say one thing from the very beginning. The purpose of this sermon series is not to have us question salvation or to want to be perfect in order so that we can attain salvation. Let me just say from the beginning that I believe with all of my heart, and I preach this, that we are saved by God's grace. But I believe that God's grace, when we truly get it, changes us. It changes us. It fixes who we are on the inside, and it makes us better people. It makes us more fit for His kingdom. It makes us people who want to lose the weight of sin and distraction. It makes us people who want to be about our Father's business. It makes us people who want to be doing that to the best of our ability, not satisfied with just existing in the kingdom, but God's grace that saves us eternally makes us people who want to do the best that we can. And so as I encourage you to take this journey, to really get on board with this idea of losing being the new winning, and it's okay to lose, and we need to lose things in order to be better fit for the kingdom, we have to believe that there is something better. We have to believe that God offers us something better than we can get on our own. So for the next, 7 weeks now, we're going to be talking about the things that He's calling us to let go of. And there's going to be some things that are obviously sin, and they're despicable, and they kill us, and they destroy relationships, and we need to let go of those things. But there are going to be some things that I'm telling you are good things that we also need to let go of so that we can be fit for the kingdom. This morning, you have a decision to make. Some of us have gotten off the couch spiritually, but then we've gotten back on it. Some of us in this room today have made the decision, you know what? I am going to be a kingdom citizen. I'm going to get into God's kingdom. I want to be God's man or God's woman. And they've gone through that. They've confessed Christ as Savior, or maybe, and you've been baptized into His death, burial, and resurrection. But since then, a lot of those same gluttonous, sinful, selfish characteristics of life have slowed you down. This morning, you can change that. You can say, I'm going to lose those things. I'm going to take a journey. I'm going to go through a program and a process where I systematically work out and let go of these things that are hindering me so that I can be a better member of God's kingdom, so I can do more kingdom work, so I can sustain activity in His kingdom. And then there's some who need to respond to the invitation to just get on board, to confess Christ as their Lord and Savior, to be baptized into His death, burial, and resurrection so that they can have, you can have the new life that He's talking about. Whatever your need is, you can let it be known as together we stand and as we sing.